Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. I'm absolutely buzzing to be back inside the building once again as we jump into another conversation. Today, we're getting into the interview hour with an artist we've been featuring on the show quite heavily recently. He was last week's Tuesday DM Diver, which I was really excited to do. The tune got a wicked response. We've been absolutely loving the sounds he's been putting out there. Man Like D-Wayne joins us on the line right about now. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it, man.
Each and every time, man. I've got to say, I've been loving the stuff we've been receiving from you. I've been loving the energy as well behind the tunes. We've got a lot of stuff to dive into today, so we're going to crack on with things straight away. First of all, how are things your end? Because it looks like things are starting to pick up. Things are looking quite busy. How are things?
No, it is. Things are starting to pick up. I just want to be consistent this year. You know, coming out of a pandemic and releasing only one song in like 2 years, I think the aim this year is just to be consistent, release songs, see the response they get, and just perform. This summer, I just want to be outside, just perform as much as possible, to be honest.
Definitely, man. I can understand it as well. Again, we're going to dive into a lot of the sort of, I want to say, roots of your sounds and the kind of influence behind them and what they kind of do to dances. But kind of with that, like, would you say performance is a big part of what you do as an artist more than anything else? Would you say it's a big part of you as a character?
Yeah, man, like dance, I'd say that's my first love. So when it comes to performance, my dad, he's into music as well. He wanted me to do music from time. So he's like, bro, like if you do this, you can't just stand still. Like he like brought me up on like James Brown, Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown, Beyonce, all of them thing there. So yeah, for me, performance is important because it just adds that element of life to a song. Like I've been told, like even me personally, my songs sound better live. And for me, there's a reason for that. Like, there's a reason that there's just the energy that I kind of put in when I'm performing that you're not going to hear in audio. And it's not a diss to the audio. Like me, myself, I just prefer performing live, to be honest.
I think there's a cool thing about that, though. There are definitely performers out there, I'm assuming including yourself, though, that just have that kind of thing where when something is live, there's an extra layer. There's an extra kind of switch on something. There's an extra kind of dash of finesse about the way you're doing it. And it does translate into your tunes, but this is why I would like to hear them in that kind of live setting. I do want to dive into your influences, because having listened through your catalogue, obviously, prior to getting you on the show, obviously, we've been running a few bits of yours on the show as well. The thing I've noticed about your entire catalogue is everything has a bounce to it. Everything has a kind of uplifting element to it in regards to either the instrumentals, the drum lines, the lyricism. There's always a sense of either, I don't want to say fun because it almost undermines it, but there's a sense of upliftingness about what's going on. Like, is that something you do intentionally, and where do you think that comes from?
I wouldn't even say it's intentional, you know. Like, it goes back to just being a dancer and me wanting to move about on stage, because on stage I really feel like him, like I am him. So I just try and encapsulate and bring that energy. So for me, I think the thing is, I want my music to mean something. Like, but you know, sometimes, even you know, being into hip-hop, being into rap, sometimes I think the quote-unquote woke stuff gets a bad rep, but it's boring, it's just bars, there's no hook. So my thing is, if I can put like the message in the candy, if I can put the message in the sweet and people can get it, then that's a bonus for me. So it's always, you want people to have a good time in it. That's my thing. Yes, if you listen to the lyrics, there's something, but at the end of the day, I want you to have a good time when you're listening to my music. Like, I want it to be an experience, and that's where it comes from. So I definitely like intentionally pick certain beats that I know that people are going to be like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, I'm vibing. But when I listen to it on the second or third time, they're like, all right, like he's saying something. So yeah, I definitely say it's intentional. It didn't start off that way though. That was just kind of what I just moved to, because I just want to kind of be, I didn't want to be what's currently out right now. I was trying. So I was like, what lane can I find? And that's just, what pulled me in, to be honest.
It's an interesting one. Do you remember like maybe a tune or a moment where that suddenly clicked and you were like, actually, this is a cool kind of direction to go down? Do you remember a moment when that happened?
For number one and the stuff I'm doing now, like even main character, you know, I'd say it's very recent. It's lockdown. You see Kate Renata's album, Bubba. Mm. You see that album in the first lockdown, I used to listen to that every day. Literally, when I was doing workouts, when I was going running, I used to do that every day. So I was like, okay, this is sick, because Kate Renata, one thing I love about him is he has a signature sound, but his songs sound different at the same time. But when you hear it, you know it's a Kate Renata song. So I was just like, yeah, like people have always said, oh man, like you need to do the dance thing. My thing is, how can I fuse that rap, dance and vocal thing? And that kind of influence is what kind of pushed me to that kind of bouncier, more live instruments, that sound.
Awesome. And I mean, there's something I always say about Kate Renata, and it's basically this. I say he has a genre that he's created, and the genre is called Sounds Like Kate Renata. That's the name of his genre. Because there's so many, you know, you get a lot of producers and stuff that try to try out that sound, and the first thing you always think is it sounds like Kate Renata. But yeah, I definitely know what you mean about that kind of that energy that comes from that sort of sound, that kind of bounce, that kind of it's almost infectious a lot of the time. And I do see a few similarities in your sound when we're kind of listening through that thing that makes you naturally bop, even though there is kind of an intense level of lyricism there as well. It's the performance factor and the instrumental behind always have that kind of jump. And as you said, Number One is one of the tunes where this has really stood out, both from a listener's perspective primarily. How did that tune kind of come together, I suppose, from a studio perspective first of all? Like, walk me through the day.
The funny thing is, most of the songs you're hearing this year, they're all recorded in my room, like this room that I'm recording is now. So Number One just kind of came about just lockdown, really. I think lockdown kind of refocused me, and I had to have a conversation with myself, like, okay, the stuff I was releasing before is cool, but what kind of artist do I actually want to be? And that's why the new sound came in, just change of socials, kind of like a rebrand. So Number One just kind of came with, like, if I want to do this, like, how can I tell my truth? And it was just me telling my truth on experiences of growing up in Kent, being one of the only few black people here. And how can I make it fun? I don't want to bore people with 72 bars and people are like, oh man, there's no replay value. You know what I mean? Like, how can I make it catchy? How can I make it bouncy? And then obviously we saw what happened with England with the missed penalties. It just kind of, everything just kind of dropped in a line. And I was like, okay, I've got the instrument, because the thing is with these songs, I've been working on these songs for months. So Number One literally took me like a good 4 or 5 months to even put together.
I apologize for saying walk me through the day. I was going to walk me through half of the year.
But yeah, it's literally that. So I've got the first verse where I'm just kind of saying my experiences growing up. And then I was like, how can I tie this into Saka, Rashford and all of that that's happened? So it was kind of like that. But my boy was like, kind of just play with melodies. Like, this, you sound akin to this sound. Like, this sound is you. But I need you to play with melodies, leave space. Like, instead of rap, like, do this sing thing. So I was just kind of experimenting. And the verses just kind of came together themselves, to be honest. Once again, it was just me just talking what I was going through and what I had been through, obviously, with the Black Lives Matter movement, etc. And all of that in the air. I was just kind of like, okay, how can I make this a song where it's relatable to everyone? So black people can be like, yeah, I experienced this, but then other races can be like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's a, and then people casual, even if you just pick up the chorus, I'm cool with that. As long as you're catching a vibe, like, that's all that matters, to be honest. So that's how it kind of came about.
Amazing, man. I mean, this is where things for me get really cool as kind of like a listener first and foremost. That kind of, I suppose, concoction of different elements, the your sort of personal experience, the idea that you want people to be having a good time to it at the same time, and then obviously big global events taking place at the same time. It does kind of, and the fact it all boils down into this kind of sing along number to an extent. There is definitely like a sing along element to it. It's such an interesting kind of journey. Like, how was the response again? From kind of listenership for you when it first dropped?
That one, I think it, I wouldn't say it's surprise. I'll say surprise. It surprised people, because I think people thought when I was going to release another song again, it would be a freestyle or something with just bars in it. But just during lockdown, I keep on mentioning lockdown, but during lockdown as well, I was doing a lot of reels and doing a lot of content where it was kind of dance based, and what it just dropped, like, okay, this is your bag. This dance thing is your bag. So how can you incorporate this with rap? So when I did this, people were like, this is you. Like, that was the general consensus. Like, even when I performed it live, like what you said about the whole sing-along thing, people were singing along to the chorus. People were like, yeah, this, like, we get the other stuff and we get you on a rap and blah, blah, blah. But what you've done on that song is kind of you. And that's what led to just different tracks and me kind of focusing on that sound and trying to hone that crafting. Because I don't think there's many kind of UK artists doing that kind of alternative housey sound, to be honest. So I was like, okay, this is my lane, how do I now perfect it? But yeah, no, people really liked it. Summer playlists, obviously, when people had a few listens, they're like, oh, right, you actually talking some stuff. I'm like, that's the aim. But yeah, man, I just want to raise the vibration and just want people to have a good time, man.
Amazing. I mean, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, because you get to hear it once and then you get to kind of go, oh, what was that tune? That one had a back. I really enjoyed that one. And then you listen to it again and you get the kind of, it's like Pass the Parcel, but with one person, and there's just more layers coming off and more layers coming off. It's really cool. Like, again, that kind of unique avenue you're speaking about there, that again, almost kind of combining house and rap to an extent on a very basic level. That's kind of, that's the kind of idea. With that, do you find yourself kind of, I suppose, do you find yourself writing a bit more freely when you're putting stuff together, or do you find it's the opposite and you have to be more precise in your methodology?
Nah, because, you know, even before I found this sound, my instrumentals and production, I just thought it was always me at the time. So I never really felt like I was forcing it. The only thing is, I'd say, when it comes to writing those type of songs, I can't write. Like, I can write like 10 other freestyles, maybe trap-based instrumentals, that. But when it comes to those type of songs, it's very specific. Like, it will take me literally weeks to months at a time to finish one of those songs, because it is me, but I wouldn't say I put pressure on myself, but I just want it to translate properly. Because I feel like with that, not that it can become monotone, but I like to play around with flows. I like to play around with vocal inflection. So all of that comes into play. Whereas a freestyle, I'd actually say I'm probably more free to just do whatever and experiment there. But I'm like, no, this needs to be a song. There needs to be like a bridge to the chorus. The chorus needs to be catchy. The verse needs to be like this. And then the beat is doing its thing. So the verse can't be too wordy, because if the verse is wordy, people are not going to hear the beat. So it's all of that. So literally, like with number one, like there was literally 5, 6, 7 different versions where I'm like, okay, I don't like this term, scrap it. It's too wordy. Like, I can take one word out here, scrap that. And yeah, that's how it came about. So I don't know if it's more difficult because I enjoy the process, but I definitely say I'm more specific on that type of sound, definitely. Like, there's more of a structure that I need to kind of fit in. I don't know if the formula is the right word, but yeah, there's definitely a structure there.
Yeah, I feel whenever you're kind of going for a much more kind of specific approach, and you know where you want it to end up, but you know to get there, again, primarily through previous experience, you're going to have to stack different things. You're going to have to try different things out until you find that kind of magic combo. Now, I definitely feel it. And I think it does lead us on quite nicely to, obviously, one of our DM Diver releases last week, one of my favorite tracks at the moment that I've been spinning quite regularly now, which is Sorcerer. Now, this one, again, it definitely ups the energy levels. It definitely kind of brings a lot of, I want to say, dance floor energy to the table. I can imagine this one being wicked to perform live. Again, talk me through the process behind this one, because this is the tune right now. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So Sorcerer is actually, I'd even go to say, it's probably the trilogy. I had a song called Sauce I released in 2018, and then another popular one called Saucy. And I was like, I remember my boy always said, like, alright, man. Like, he gave me the best advice, and he was like, oh man, you rappers always say you're the best. So if you say you're the best, surely you can just release songs. Like, stop holding on to songs. Like, make better. Because even when you look at a Kendrick or Cole, it's not like they're talking about different things. They're just talking about the same things, but it's better. So that was just a version of that. So Sorcerer just came about. I'd had the instrumental just in my hard drive for ages. And it was just me just kind of just gassing, just talking. I said, okay, let's make an uplifting song. But once again, the lyrics still need to mean something. That's how Sorcerer came about. Definitely inspired by Doctor Strange, because that's one of my favorite heroes. Shout out to Stephen Strange.
Have you had a chance to see the new one yet?
Oh, yeah. I saw that first day it dropped.
Yeah, good, man. So, yeah. I'm in the same boat. For those watching on the video side, you can see the little Strange poster behind me to the left-hand side. But it's a really cool way of kind of tying things in, man. And again, how's the response been to this one? Because this one's only been out for not as much time. This one's only been out for a few weeks. So how have you found the response to this one, I suppose, in comparison to number one?
People like it in a sense where it's different, but I think people really like, as you said, the energy of it, because the whole reason why I called it Sorcerer was obviously if you have source, then you know you have that confidence. And I say in the chorus, you're drawing from the source, which is the universe, which is God, which is whatever you believe in. So it's just kind of bringing those different beliefs in, and then to name it Sorcerer as well, just to be like, yeah, once again, I am him, I am that guy. So I had to portray that energy. So one of my listeners reached out and said, like, I make higher vibrational music, which was the best compliment, like, ever. Because I didn't really think of it that way. Me, I just kind of go with the energy of the track. So the feedback has been sick. A lot of people say they're playing in their cars because of that drum pattern, because of that, you know, bass. People are now clocking onto the bars as well. A little, little entendres. Just the writing schemes and the flow. So it's been great feedback, man. We just hope it just kind of grows. People really, really enjoy the video as well. That's just me trying to be as creative as possible. So you're just trying to build on that, to be honest.
Amazing, man. Yeah, how was the... I always like to ask how video shoots are, especially when the tunes are... especially when the tunes have a kind of lively nature to them, because I always imagine there's like a party going on at the same time. Like, how was the video shoot for this one?
I wish. Basically, I wish, my bro. I wish it was that kind of vibe. The video came out. I worked with a very, very talented director called Naomi. She's sick. Like, she's done better my videos. But this one, the aim was just kind of to step up from the previous videos. People had liked the main character song. But originally, the whole concept, I actually wanted to go with the Doctor Strange concept so much. I even had a visual effects artist on board. I wanted to do mirror dimension stuff. But then I saw the budget in this UK. I said, no chance. I said, I have to scale it back. So yeah, it was just kind of, how do we execute? It was less is more, but how can we make the more expressive? How can we make it creative? So for me, I just kind of drew on influences. Like, I think Solange, when it comes to videos, is one of my biggest inspirations. So I just had kind of her. I had this idea of tying my locks into speakers so there would be wires. Like, we just had different shots like that. And I was like to my director, like, these are the ideas. Let's just see if we can make it work. And she's always like, sick, like, we can do this. There's a vision, like, she's wavy. So we just kind of put different ideas together. Like, she had the idea of filming with a projector and using visual effects. I'm like, yeah, that's sick. So just kind of bringing all of them artsy ideas from the mood board into real life and then just kind of building around that. So there wasn't really like a specific concept. We just wanted to raise the bar from the last video. And I actually, like, I honestly feel we did that. Because I just like performing live, I want people to have experiences when watching a video. Like, I want you to take away something. Like, yeah, I want you to take away something from the visual.
I think that's always the thing, though. You know a good music video when you... The way I always describe it, at least, is you know a good music video when it's a good one when you see the song. You see the video when you hear the song, just on audio.
Yeah.
And you remember the video when you hear the... That's always a kind of good way of describing it. And since watching the video, that's now what I see. So it's in the good zone, essentially, at least to my ears. Now, this does drive me onto a kind of cool direction next. Obviously, you've spoken quite a lot about the specificity of... Which is really difficult to say on the spot. about putting together obviously the structure of these type of tunes, these much more sort of thought out, planned, kind of tried and tested tracks. What element of them do you prefer the most out of the hooks and the verses? Because obviously the hooks have to be catchy, but the verses have to be very specific and still catchy to an extent. Like, what do you kind of prefer writing on both of those sides?
That's a great question. That is a great, because I never really think about it, you know. I'd probably say the verses are more fun to write, only because with me, when it comes to like writing verses, I never want people to be bored. So I look at artists like a Kendrick or like even a Beyonce or any artist in R&B, where when you listen to the second verse, it now adds a new life. It's a new flow. It's a new vocal inflection. It's a new, you know, it's something different that brings life. Like, it's a new key change, it's something. So I think for me, I kind of challenged myself to kind of, okay, the first verse is this flow, but how do I now play around with the second verse? How do I, you know, keep the listener coming back so it's not monotone? So I'd say in that, I'd probably say writing the verse is more fun, but the chorus is, I say the chorus is harder, you know. I say writing the verse is much more natural and much more fun as a rapper, because I do rap first. Sometimes when I'm doing choruses, they can be a bit wordy. So I'm like, no, how can I pull back? The verses are fine. I can write verses for time. But yes, now it's the song part of it, basically. Mm. It's the how can I break it up? Like my dad would say, sometimes like your songs, like break them up with vocals here and there, or like how can I break it up so it's a song, so people can relate, so people can sing along. So I definitely say choruses are the hardest for me, but verses, I just like experimenting. Like, I don't really feel pressure. I just like to kind of have different things and people to be like, oh man, that flow was sick there and stuff like that, to be honest. Like, I want to keep the listener guessing.
Awesome. I mean, it's so interesting kind of hearing the process behind what's going on. And more than anything else, it does tie me into my final couple of questions. The first one of those is, obviously, you've kind of moved into this much more, I want to say, dance floor friendly sound recently. And it's been the direction you've kind of going in. Are there any other kind of areas of sound that you could imagine yourself working on now, like a new direction you've never been in before? Are there any other sorts of genres or styles that you could imagine yourself kind of going, I could definitely drop something in that kind of range?
Possibly, maybe upper piano or afro house. The thing is, I'm kind of there with house anyway, because I just kind of like that sound. But I definitely feel like upper piano, I definitely feel like afro house. I kind of in that genre, to be fair, just to kind of expound. I definitely want to nail this sound first, kind of build upon that. But stuff like I said, like traditional hip hop, and because I'll still kind of do beats like that, but I always try and find something different even within that. But yeah, I definitely say something along the Afrobeat side would be pretty cool. But once again, because it's so popular now, how do you find an angle with it? And that would be my challenge. So yeah, it'd be that.
It'd be an interesting one to hear, man. I could definitely see it working. I could definitely see the like a specific avenue like working and being like, yep, that's D-Wayne. I know that's D-Wayne.
Yeah.
And it being that kind of thing that you can carry. But there we go. I've got to say, we've only got one more sort of thing to ask, and that is, of course, what's next after the after obviously Sorcerer, after the campaign's finished for that. What are you kind of planning on doing for the rest of the year?
Just consistent releasing singles, as many gigs as possible, whatever God will allow, to be honest. It's just for me, just releasing work and just building that steady catalog, just sharing the sounds. As I said, we were inside for 2 years, so I want people to see me and hear me as much as possible, to be fair. So it's just about just releasing singles and having fun with it. I think that's the most important thing, is having fun within the experience, having fun within the journey. That's with stuff like this, which I appreciate you putting together. That's with like recording, that's with performing, just having fun. Because I feel like as an artist, sometimes we can get bogged down with the expectations. Oh, this needs to be like this. But my thing is now, it's just as long as people are saying the music is good, everything else will take care of it. I can't control everything else in it. So everything else will take care of itself. So for me this year, it's just music. We're getting music out there, shows, God willing, a headline show either at the end of this year or the top of next year. That's definitely the plan. But yeah, man, we're just going to keep on churning out songs, videos, art, you know, anything that's expressive, anything creative, to be honest.
Amazing, man, amazing. Well, I've got to say, dude, it's been great getting you on the show. It's been great kind of hearing the kind of science behind your methodology when it comes to putting these tunes together, obviously the kind of influences you're working with as well, and obviously the plans for the future. Just before we do round up, where can people find you on socials if they aren't already?
People can find me Instagram, Twitter, at dwayne, but artsy, D33WAIN. Artist, man, always long, but yeah, that's the tag. Facebook is the same, YouTube is the same. Yeah, man, check my stuff out, hit me up, give me feedback. I'm always open to it. As I said, I'm just here just to kind of be a messenger and be a vessel and just kind of raise the vibration, to be honest. But at the same time, I just want people to have a great time. Life is too short, man. Even if you're hearing a message after, that's fine. But as long as you're moving, you're shaking, you're having a great time, it raises the frequency. That's all man wants from the music, to be honest. All the rest, I know, will take care of itself, man.
Amazing, amazing. Well, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, dude. I've got to say, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for taking the time out of your morning as well to join us. It's been absolutely great. Well, there we go. We're going to move into the sounds of Sorcerer next. We're going to give it a bit of a run now live on the show, and I'm very excited to get into it. And then following on from that, we are going to be jumping into today's edition of Dubshack. So D-Wayne, thanks for coming on, and we'll chat soon.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Keep it locked and don't go anywhere, guys. We're live on Trickstar Radio. This is Breakfast with Kovu.
Trickstar Radio.
Live from the South Coast.